Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, tonight's message, if you came here to church for a message, is living. This is not living with Zoe. It's living with Zoe. Zoe is not a girl. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Zoe is the life of God. Hallelujah. It's just the life that God has. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm just going to need your help here to get into all we got to get into. Just put a demand on. You want the word? Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Living with Zoe. Living the life with the life that God has. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got the slick text today. Praise the Lord. Thank God for slick text. I'm just trying to do anything here to get grounded, so you have to forgive me for a minute. Praise God. Hallelujah. Get everything in the right order. God is good. Hallelujah. Love the local church. See, if it wasn't for the local church and impartations of God through my pastor and through the local church, I would never have gotten to the place where I am today to be able to minister, to be able to do the things that God has for me to do. And so, you know, the thing is, that's good. Once it was said to me, you know, I got a certain impartation from my pastor. He laid hands on me, and a good friend of mine came up to me after the service, and he said, now it's your job to go home and get before the Lord and find out what that was about. Amen? Yeah. And so, praise God, hallelujah. I believe that will help you, the four of you anyways. Praise God. Glory to God. So sometimes, sometimes God wants us to work a little bit too. Amen. Glory to God. Well, today we're talking about our foundation of our faith. We're talking about the living the life that God intends us to live. Amen. But not just in the sense of you know, what kind of stuff can we get, what kind of house can we live in, what kind of car can we buy, what kind of, you know, all this stuff. But really connecting to the plan of God and living in the foundations that He has provided for us. Amen. How many know that foundations in anything are important? Glory to God. If your foundation is bad, it doesn't matter what kind of building you put on top of it. If the foundation isn't good, then the building will crumble. You can spend billions of dollars and make everything really super nice on top. But if you don't have a good foundation, it doesn't matter. So you need to first address that. And so we're gonna start here. In a foundational scripture, Hebrews 11:1. Praise God, we know the scripture. But of course, we know it also will not hurt us to go see it again. I love the word of God. Excuse me. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen? Praise God. Faith is a substance of... Now, that word substance, you know, part of that the definition of that word substance is also the word foundation. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we find that in there. So we can say that faith is the foundation of what is expected. Amen? The things hoped for. We know, of course, in the Bible, when it talks about hope, so often it's referring to an expectation or what we expect from God. And so we know that faith is the foundation on what is expected. Amen? Praise God. Therefore, this is what everything is built on. You know, the foundational thing to believe God, to trust God, and to know that there is a direction, that there, you know, because it's not just enough to come and believe, you know, we believe that there's a plan, but it's not just enough to believe that there's some kind of plan out there, but that God has direction for us to get into that plan. And that that God plans that we will get into that plan, amen? And that should be a foundation. That's really a foundation of our faith. That's the foundation where everything else that we do will rest upon. Because it'd be pretty hard to trust in a God if there's no foundation of knowing that there's that we can have expectation in something. Amen? And so we know as God brings us together in the local church, as He brings us together as a church family, that there's an expectation of us. There's an expectation of who we are and how we'll connect, but also an expectation of what will come of us, amen? That there's an expectation of fruit. Again, God uses so many times the examples of planting seeds and growing fruit and producing fruit. Planting and then getting a harvest and all these things. And so we know the same thing we Christians, if we're at all mature, and generally speaking, if we're here on a Tuesday night, we're, you know, this is probably not our first church service. And so we should start getting the idea that God has expectations for us. And now those expectations, I don't just mean, you know, in the expectations of living right and stuff like that. Of course, we mean that. We talk about that often. But we also mean that expectations of what God wants to do through us. You know, that the plan of God, you know, these things that we're contending for, the greatness, the fullness of the plan, the fulfillment of the plan, the outpour of the Spirit on the earth, you know, and the revivals and all these wonderful things that we talk about, these are things that we should expect. These are things that are in that foundation. You know, the reason that we can expect those, because they are foundation, because God always has a plan to get us from point A to point B. And so when you have a plan to get from point A, when you have a plan, let's say it like this, when you're building a building and you have a plan to put a roof on, you do the foundation first. But the roof is no less connected to the foundation. You can't have a roof without the foundation. Now, the last thing that you generally would put on the outside of the house are the shingles probably, or the roof, you know, because everything else has to be there. But all of that stuff rests on the foundation. And so we have to know that there's an expected end, but that expected end is connected to the foundation. Amen? Now, the devil also knows about foundations. He also knows, he knows them very well. He has a very good understanding of how God's foundations work. And so that's what he always attacks. You know, a lot of people, they often wonder, you know, why, you know, especially like with children, like why sickness would come on children and stuff like that. And of course, some dumb people in religion blame it on God. But we know, according to scripture, that we know that sickness doesn't ever come from God, but it comes from the devil. But why does the devil attack children with sickness? It's because he's building a foundation in them. You know, when the devil can build a foundation in somebody of believing something, then they start expecting it. Like with anything, when there's whatever foundation is built in you, that becomes your expectation to the end. And so we know, because sickness is not a matter of God's will, but it's a matter of the devil attacking people, what he's trying to do, even from an early age, is to start people on an expectation that sickness will just be part of their life, that sickness is just part of the things that, you know, that and really blames the God with it. And then people blame God. And they, you know, they even believe things like, you know, like, well, if for some reason somebody didn't get healed, that it was God's will that they didn't get healed. But that's not true. As I said, it's not true. It's not scriptural. It's not true. Just because something happens on earth doesn't mean that it was the will of God. And we have to get that. That's actually a foundational understanding. We have to get to the place where we believe that. If we don't believe that, then it's going to be fruitless to take us through all the other things, because if we can't believe the foundation, if we don't trust the foundation, then the house will never get built. The direction will never, you will never go up to people to lay hands on the sick so they recover if you believe that God withholds healing from somebody. If you believe that God withholds good things from somebody, you will never believe it. You'll never act upon it. You will never act upon faith. Faith is the foundation of what everything is built on. And that's why people who are weak in faith, or denominations or religions that are weak in faith, they put that weak foundation in everybody else. And so you get a lot of people believing weak foundations or having weak foundations. Then we know, just what we know according to scripture, that the structure is therefore not solid. You know, Jesus said to build on the rock, right? What does it mean to build on the rock? Build on the way Christ did things. Build on the belief that Christ believed in. Jesus never questioned God. I said, Jesus never questioned God. He never questioned why something happened, because he knew why it happened. He knew that it was either the devil, or it was an attack, or it was a time of waiting. He knew. He never questioned what God's end of doing things, because he knew God's end of doing things. Folks, we have to get to this place where we understand that God is not just doing and manipulating everything out there, that everything that happens is not result of God either not doing it or doing it. Because the truth of the matter is, God has already done all he's ever going to do. You cannot receive from God any more healing than he's already provided you. You cannot receive from God any more riches than he's already provided for you. Why? Because these are things that were provided, as a matter of fact, on the cross. You cannot receive from God any more salvation than he's already provided. You can't be more saved tomorrow than you are today. You were just as saved tomorrow as you were yesterday. Hallelujah. If you got saved 50 years ago, you are just as saved today as you were then. You are no less and no more, because there is not degrees in the things that God gives. It's just all or nothing. Why do you think, you know, Romans 8:32 tells us if he gave us his son, how would he not with him freely give us all things? He gave us his son to tell us that there is nothing that God would withhold from us. This is a foundational truth. He gave us his son to tell us that there is nothing he would withhold from us. Because when he gave us his son, he gave us everything he possibly could in one swoop. One fell swoop. He gave it to us all. There was nothing more that God could do for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so when we pray to God, it matters how we pray, because we're not praying for God to release something that he is wanting to release. Now, there are times and there are seasons that we walk into certain things. I am not talking about things that are given to us freely, things like salvation. Today is the day of salvation. That's what the Bible says. And so today is the day to receive your salvation and anything that you could have, whether it's healing, whether it's finances, whether it's just life in general, whether it's a mental state of mind, whether it's addictions, no matter what it is, today is the day to receive your salvation. Amen? Glory to God. Why? Because it's already there. I said it's already there. We got to stop justifying. We got to stop apologizing for why we don't see things. It is not on God's end. It is never on God's end. Never on God's end. I can't say that enough. Amen? But the devil will attack with sickness because he wants to build a different foundation. The devil will attack with a financial attack because he wants to build a different foundation. How many know that? Has anyone in here suffered from anything more than one time? Like maybe what I'm talking about is maybe it was a sickness. Maybe you had a weakness in the flesh and some kind of sickness, and it just seems to be reoccurring. Has anyone ever suffered from anything like that? Or has anyone ever suffered from a financial attack? It seems like the same one over and over and over. What is this? These all, we know these don't come from God. And if you do know that these don't come from God. And so what's happening is it's the devil trying to build a foundation in you to not trust God, to not trust the word. Because he knows that if he can get your faith in one area, the Lord, he knows he can keep you from going into what God has for you. He knows he can stop the plan of God from going, or he can try to stop the plan of God from going forward. And what does this affect? It's not so much that it affects you, because never think that your trial is just to affect you. Your trial is to affect your family. Your trial is to affect your friends. Your trial is to affect your church. Your trial is to affect everybody that you will ever reach by any means your entire life. That's why you have trial. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's not from God. Because God is not trying to stop salvations from spreading. He is not trying to stop prosperity from spreading. God is not trying to stop sickness from spreading. God is not trying to stop death from spreading. God is not trying to stop bad thinking from spreading. He's not trying to stop depression from spreading. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He is trying to stop it. He has already provided the means to stop it, we should say. Even saying he is trying to stop it isn't good. He actually, if you want to look at it in truth, biblical truth, you want to look at it biblical truth? Biblical truth says that God already has. Amen? Let's go to 1 Peter 2:24. Praise the Lord. First Peter 2:24. Speaking of Jesus, it says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Where did he bear our sins? On the tree. That we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you will be healed someday in the future. You were healed. It's already provided. Amen. Glory to God. Matthew 8:17. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to keep going after this. I'm just giving you these two. But this doesn't just apply to healing. Amen? Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Now, how many know something's fulfilled? What does that mean? It's done. right? If something's fulfilled, hey, if somebody, if I came home and I said to my kids, have you fulfilled, and we left a note for them to do certain chores. We come home and we say, did you fulfill your obligation? They said, yes, Dad, we fulfilled our obligation. What does it mean? What do we know? It means it's done. Amen? Praise the Lord, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. He took them and he bore them. Praise the Lord. We're not waiting for it. The Bible tells us distinctly we are not waiting for God to take those things. Now, sometimes things still manifest, right? But that doesn't change the fact that we're healed. That doesn't change the fact that we're already set free. It doesn't change the fact that we have already received salvation. Salvation is not something we're waiting for. Salvation is something that is with us. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you can build in them the expectation of being sick, of being poor, of being broken, whatever, then whenever symptoms present themselves, that is what they embrace. Listen to me again. If the devil can build in you the expectation of being sick, poor, broken, or whatever, addicted, whatever, then whenever symptoms present themselves, that is what they embrace. Why? Because they have not been taught the truth. But we are taught the truth, and we have to stand on the truth. We have to stand on the truth no matter what. We are not waiting, we are. I said, we are not waiting, we are. Well, are you waiting to be born again? No, you are born again. It's already been set free. It's already been set in motion. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Adults have mastered a lifetime of embracing wrong things. And so that's why many of us, we struggle with things, even though maybe some of us have been raised in the church, even though some of us, I was raised in a church. But I wasn't raised in a church that embraced God's healing. I wasn't raised in a church that embraced the truth of God's prosperity. I wasn't raised in a, and you got to ask yourself this, if you were raised in a church, were you raised in a place that embraced these things? I've heard from many people that we hadn't heard this stuff before this. Well, what does that mean? It means you were raised in something else. You were raised to embrace something else. If you were raised in a church that spoke of God giving and taking away, you were raised in a place that embraced the idea that God gives and God takes away. And so when you have a hard time receiving, that's exactly why you are having a hard time receiving. Because there's been an expectation that's been built in you. The foundation of your faith is based in error. Now, just because it's based in error doesn't mean that you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you, but it does mean that you might go without the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord is full healing. But if you have not been raised in a place to receive that, then you may go without it. It's just the truth. It's not God's will. It's not God's desire. But God's desire is that we would all come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? That's why he gave us the truth. That's why he gave us the word on it. But what do people do with it? People manipulate it. People do what the devil does. The devil is a manipulator of the word. What does the devil always do? What did he do with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? He came for the word's sake. He said, did God really say this? Is this, in other words, is this how God meant that? Is this what God was meaning by this? Is this what God was telling you? And when he was doing that, what was he doing? He was putting a foundation of doubt in them. Well, wait a minute. Maybe that isn't what God meant by that. And so they start twisting it, and they start turning it, and they start believing a certain way. And sooner or later, they're entering into sin because they've embraced something that's false. See, whenever people embrace something that's false is generally when they enter into temptation or enter into sin. When temptation comes, they embrace it, and so they enter into it. Temptation is the opposite of the life God has for you. It is opposite of Zoe life. It is actually called death. Romans tells us that the wages of sin is death. Not the wages of doing good. Not the wages of following God. The wages of sin is death. Now, does that mean that everybody who has ever died has died because of sin? Yes. Actually, it does. It might not be their sin, but it was because of sin. Sin has caused death in the human race. The reason we see death, the reason we see these things has nothing to do with God. God is a life giver. Jesus said, I have come that they may have Zoe. Yes, it means life, but the word for life is the word Zoe. I have come that they may have life the way that God intended it to be. That's why Jesus came. But that doesn't mean that everybody would have life the way God intended it to be. because not everybody embraces it. And not everybody embraces it because not everybody knows to embrace it. Not everybody knows that it's the thing to embrace because they hear some dumb preacher telling them something that's not truth. Or they hear some dumb Christian telling them something that's not truth. If you don't believe the truth, you're a dumb Christian. Listen, if you're getting the truth and you don't believe it, it makes you a dummy. Amen? I'm just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It was a purposeful dummy because, you know, it's, that doesn't mean that you're like just a dumb person, an insult, so to speak, or so much because you've chosen to do that. When the word says what the word says, you have to take it at face value. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. But adults have mastered a lifetime. And notice I said mastered, a lifetime embracing wrong thinking. Faith is the foundation on what is expected. Therefore, this is what is built upon. And I have there's this video game that I like to play. I say video game, it's a computer game. I've liked to play it for years. It's an old game. And basically all it is you start off, you have a few little characters on the board, and you go around and you start giving them directions to do different things. There's a map that you live on. And you go through and you send one to chop wood, and you send one to get food, and you send one to get stone, and one to get gold, and different things like this. And as you build the civilization, different things cost different things. You got to build houses, and then you got to build barns, and you got to build all these things. And as you progress through these civilizations, you get more powerful, and you can build armies and stuff like that. Well, one of the things that I like to do is I don't like to attack people, not at first. But I like to be prepared because I know one thing, that the attack is coming. How do I know that? Because the game's designed to attack you. Eventually, now when they first start off, they're just like you, the others. You get to pick how many other teams are on the board, and they're all other computer, computer generated. But they all have one goal in mind, to end up attacking you and taking what's yours. So what your goal is to not let them attack you. And so I don't like to attack. I like to see who's going to attack me first. And then when the ones attack me first, I've usually built things in such a way that I go and wipe them out. And then I take everything that's theirs and I have it. Well, it's just the way that it is, but that's the game. And so, praise the Lord. But one of the things when they start attacking you that they like to do is they like to come to your land or your area and they like to start building buildings. Why? Because when they start building buildings, they're laying a foundation. Now, here's the thing that I know. When someone starts building a building, why am I saying this, right? When somebody starts building a building in your area, it's easy at first to destroy it when they start because it takes a certain amount of time to build a building. It's not instant. It's easy at first to stop it. But you know, once that building is built, it's a lot harder to get rid of it. Once that foundation has been built upon and been finished, like for example, if you build a castle is a great thing in this game to build because one of the things that a castle does is that when enemies come around, it just automatically attacks them. It sends arrows at them. And they're pretty heavy duty, it's a pretty heavy duty attack. So if you have castles, the only way to defeat a castle well is from far away. Amen. But the point that I'm trying to make is if somebody started building a castle in the midst of my town and I didn't do something about it, if I didn't stop that thing from being built, what happens is that thing will start firing on anything in the town, including villagers, other buildings, and so on and so forth. And just to say I left it there and didn't do anything with it, it would destroy everything around it. It's the same thing with the devil. The devil's coming to put a foundation on the ground, on soil that doesn't belong to him. He's coming to put a foundation in soil that belongs to our Heavenly Father. You know, the Bible says that we are the temple of God. Well, that's exactly what the devil is doing. Now, in the early stages, if you catch him and you get him eradicated, you get it out, you can deal with it a lot easier. But if you're one of those people that allows the foundation to be built and then the building to be built, and this happens over and over and over and over and over, pretty soon it's going to be hard to eradicate them. And you can get to a place where it's impossible to. I said you can get to a place where it's impossible to. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's the truth. And so we want to be people who get to these foundations first. Amen? The devil is trying to build foundations in your life. We cannot let him do it. I said we cannot let him do it. Whoa. Praise the Lord. Went up high. Praise God. We cannot let the devil build foundations in our lives. The foundations will destroy us, and they will keep us from doing what God has intended for us to do. Amen? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3:9. Glory to God. Good thing I wasn't yelling. First Corinthians 3:9. What's it say here? It says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. We can let the devil come plant in our field, God's field. Don't let the devil come plant in God's field. You are God's building. Look what he uses. We are his workers. We work with fellow workers. We are his field, and we are his building. So what do we know about buildings? Buildings, why do we build buildings? We don't just build buildings to impress, but we do build buildings to impress. But the ultimate idea of buildings is for shelter, right? It's for shelter. It's for protection. It's for strength. It's the better the building is, the more that you can do on the inside of it. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. And the field, of course, we know is for provision. Think about that. You are God's field. What does it mean that you are God's field? You are God's method for provision on the earth. Now, God has put things on the earth to provide for us, but we're supposed to provide those things which the earth cannot provide. That's the job of Christians. That's why we're his field, because we're supposed to go out there. Actually, and we're also God's workers. We're supposed to cultivate that field. Our job is to ensure that God's field produces good things. Now, what's your job to produce? We know this, that God has given us provision. Our job is not to produce food. Now, maybe if you have a job as a laborer in a food factory or in a farm or something like that, then yes, technically your job is to produce food. But I'm talking about in God's kingdom. Our job is not to produce food. Everything we do in life is to produce for the kingdom of God. I said everything we do in life is to produce for the kingdom of God. If you work a job, your job is not to supply your household. Why? Because your job is not your supply. I said your job is not your supply. Didn't we just do this in Matthew 6? We looked at that on Sunday, right? Our job is not to provide food and all this stuff. Now, yes, you have to go to work, but you have to understand, we have to start looking at it, right? The things we do in life, if they are to produce the things that God produces, then we're going backwards. We're doing something, we're being redundant in what we're doing. There is no point in repeating what somebody else did. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If I was standing here preaching and I preached the message, and John got up afterwards and said, that wasn't good enough, I'm going to get up, and he re-preached the same exact message, there'd be redundancy in that, right? There wouldn't be need to do that. Hallelujah. That's why God, that's why there's one steering wheel in a car. Amen? You don't need two. You'd get in trouble if you had two. What if one wheel was controlled by one steering wheel and the other wheel was controlled by another steering wheel? Well, I'm going to tell you what, if that was most churches, which is most churches, you'd be in an accident real quick. This is why the people of God don't seem to get so far sometimes, because you got too many people. You know, I used to have this friend that used to say this. And I love this saying, too many chefs ruin the soup. Too many chefs. You have a lot of ideas, and those are great, but when you try to put them all into the same soup, you're going to ruin it. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. The same thing. Most cars have, or all cars have one steering wheel. Some do have two, but that's when, like driver ed and stuff like that. But they don't come equipped with that. Amen? That's something that's added on later. But we know that's not ideal. And so the same thing is here. God's fellow workers, we are not to repeat the same things God's doing. Our job is not to take care of us. Our job is not to ensure that we have all that we need. God's job is. That does not mean that you don't have to work and do things. Of course you do. But if you work in the things, if you go through life and your job and all this thing, all these things, and you have the idea that your job is to supply the kingdom of God, watch out. You wait and see what happens. See, that's exactly what the Philippians, remember I was reading about the Philippians and tithes and offerings? That's exactly what the Philippians were doing. They were saying, we recognize that what we've been given is to further the kingdom of God. It's not for us. God will supply us. That's not for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. I know this, it can be a hard concept to get, because it's a lot for us to give away. Because we have to give away control. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, one of the first things that God is going to demand from you, God doesn't demand a lot, but one of the first things he's going to demand from you is control over your life. You do not have control over your life. You've been bought at a price. You are not your own. Praise the Lord. That is, this is a very scriptural principle that so many Christians just don't seem to get. You are not your own. You do God. You bought at a price. Praise the Lord. If you are still in it for you, dear Jesus, you haven't learned yet. Well, praise God. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. What would be an example of this? Well, we know that in this group, we are connected to a man named Pastor Michael. Pastor Michael is got the vision from Jesus to start the family churches, to go out and plant churches. Now, he himself cannot pastor 50 different churches. So what does he have to do? He has to raise up pastors. As a wise master builder, he has laid the foundation. The foundation is the direction of God. So he sent out people to go out and build upon those foundations. But he says, and that's exactly what this is talking about here. Praise the Lord, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ and him crucified and the things that he did, the way that he lived. This is the foundation that nobody else should change. But this is a foundation that so often gets changed. The direction of the Lord, the desires of God. People change it to fit what their situation sees, what their circumstance sees, or what their circumstance shows them. And this is why people don't progress past, because they don't understand the way that it works. If you embrace something that is false, you cannot receive what is true. If you embrace what is false, you cannot receive what is true. So if you embrace that God wants you sick, you will never receive healing. If you embrace that this is your lot in life, you will never receive prosperity. If you embrace that you'll always be addicted, you will never see a break from addiction. If you embrace that you're always a loser, you will never see God taking you higher. When you embrace the false, you give up the truth. You get up. Folks, this is such a important foundational fact. We have to look at ourselves differently. If you embrace that you're no good, you'll never do much for God. I had to give up this. That's because it's a form of pride, really. It really is. You know, there's people, you know, we got some elder generations in here, praise the Lord. If you embrace that there's nothing much for you to do now because you're older, then that's exactly what you'll do. Because God cannot do, if you embrace what's false, then you cannot receive the real. You can't receive the truth. You have to know and understand, as long as God has you here, you're here for a purpose. And God has you here until you finish a purpose, in case you didn't know. When I say it, as long as God has you here, you know, Apostle Paul, he knew when it was time for him to go. He said, I've completed my race. I finished my course. Praise the Lord. And he went not too long after that. He knew. Now, it wasn't as long. It was by many standards. I mean, I don't know how old he was, but it certainly wasn't that old. He wasn't like an, I don't think he was like an 80-year-old man or anything like that. Praise the Lord. But, you know, he ran with God right up until the end. You know, he finished the race. Dr. Summerall said that. You know, Dr. Summerall, he said to somebody just before he left, he said, I finished my race. I'm going to go home soon to be with the Lord. Brother Hagin knew that he was going home to be with the Lord. Some people try to argue that or don't think that it's true. Well, you cannot think it's true. That's fine with me. But the Bible says otherwise. So I just embrace what the Bible says. I'm not embracing what man says or what man doesn't. You know, just because you don't like it or because it rubs your religion the wrong way doesn't really matter to me. I'm still going to embrace what the Bible says. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we have to understand this, that we have, as long as we're here, we have purpose to be here. Now, that doesn't mean if somebody's no longer here that they didn't have purpose to be here. Sometimes we know Dr. Dufresne went home too early. Too early. It was not God's timing that he went home. See, this idea, this concept that God has time for us to go home, in the sense that he's got a time, he's got a prearranged time for us to die, is absolutely absurd. Yeah. It's not scriptural. The Bible tells us, with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. You know, when he says show you my salvation, long life, you'll see my salvation every day of your life. That if you believe, if you trust in God, this is where Jesus said, this is what Jesus meant when he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. It means that you can walk through life with God's salvation every single day. What's happening in your life? I'm saved from that. I'm redeemed from that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is why we got to start with the young ones. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. No other foundation can anyone lay other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, I use this example on Sunday, and I'll bring it out again because there's so much truth to it. But Jesus, when he was going to the cross, and he was saying, Lord, he'd say, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, your will be done. You know, so many people want to pray that prayer, but I always come back to this. Jesus knew what the will of God was. He knew what it was. He wasn't saying, I don't know what your will is, God. He knew what God's will was. He didn't necessarily like it in the flesh. His flesh wasn't feeling like doing what he had to do. What did he have to do? Get crucified. He had to go through the process of getting crucified. He knew the things that were going to come on him. He didn't want to do that. Well, nobody would want to do that. Sometimes when you have the direction of God, you might not want to do it. Heck, you know how many times I don't want to stand in the pulpit? Just about everyone. Praise the Lord. But that I crucify my flesh and I do it anyways. Why? Because that's what God has for me. Praise the Lord. If I followed my flesh, I would have never made it this far especially for the first year. Oh my God. Oh my God. Especially the first month, the first week I would have quit. Praise the Lord. But we crucify the flesh. Why? Because we want to fulfill the plan of God. Willing and obedient. Praise the Lord. We must upset the status quo in our lives. We must tear down what the devil has built in humanity and rebuild with the Word of God. The Word of God is our foundation, not man's ideas, not man's religion. And this is why it's so dangerous when Christians embrace another falsehood, that the Bible can be interpreted a bunch of different ways. If you believe that the Bible can be interpreted any way, then you will never embrace the truth, that it is the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. When he said your word is truth, he meant as an absolute fact, there is no other way that God's word is truth. How are we sanctified? How are we made clean? How are we set new? How are we made righteous? By the word of God. And therefore, if you don't believe that the word of God is full, 100% truth, guess what you just rejected? The ability to receive from the truth. You've rejected the ability to be fully sanctified. And if you've rejected the ability to be fully sanctified, you've rejected the ability to walk in everything that God has for you. Which again is a reason why so many people don't see all that God, Jesus, provided for them on the cross, because they have never fully been sanctified. Now that doesn't mean they're not going to heaven or anything like that, but it does mean that people can forego, praise the Lord, they can forego what God has for them. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. It's not God's will. It's not God's will that we don't fulfill the plan that he has for us. We must tear down. It has to be something that we decide that we're going to do. We are going to tear down everything that the devil has set up against us, everything the devil has set up against God's people, and we're going to see why. Praise the Lord. Turn me to Romans 8:18. And this is why. Remember when I said earlier, it's not about us. It is not just about what we do for ourselves, but it is about what we do and produce for the kingdom of God. We are God's field. We are God's play. We are his fellow workers. We are the ones that are producing what God wants to do on the earth. People don't, I don't understand why we can't, why people don't fully grasp this concept yet, but this is an absolute truth. What God is going to do on the earth, he is going to do through you and me. He is not, God isn't just waiting for someone, some great, orator, some great person, somebody who is already pre-sanctified to come in and just stand up and say, oh, don't worry, I'll take care of it all. Praise the Lord. How do you look at yourself in the mirror? Do you look at yourself in the mirror and think, man, you can't do much? Guess what? That's the one that God wants to use. He wants to use you. He wants to use you, especially when you can't do much. You know why? Because when you can't do much and God comes in and puts the grace on you and then you go do a lot, all of a sudden God gets the glory for it. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I am not any fancy talker by myself. Hallelujah. I'm still not a fancy talker in the pulpit. But I can speak the word of God. I can speak the direction of God. And I can change people's lives through that. And God can use me for that because that's what God does. We're going to see that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For I consider that the suffering, we're in Romans 8:18. For I consider the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which what? Shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation, look at this, of the creation. That means all creation. The earnest expectation, the earnest hope, they don't even know it, but all of creation has an earnest expectation. Look at this. Eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Now hold on right there for 1 second and look back up to verse 14. This is a scripture we know well. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So the sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit of God, his fellow workers, his field, his building. Praise the Lord. These are the ones. Now look at this. The earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. He wants to reveal something in us. What do you suppose that thing he wants to reveal in us is? His glory. It's the manifestation of the truth of the word. The manifestation that the disciples walked in, that the apostles walked in, they knew. The ones that they learned through Jesus, the one that they, when they walked out and they had the power flowing, when they had the, when they had the Acts 1 things happen, where the Acts 2 things happen, where the outpouring of the Spirit, this is the expectation of the world. They're saying all of a sudden the dead bodies were coming out of the ground and walking around. When Jesus, when he died, the power of God. Hallelujah. That's what people are waiting for. Amen. For the creation, look at this, was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Now, I'm going to explain this because I had to get into this before I really got the fullness of this. Maybe you got it, and if you did, praise the Lord for you, but I'm going to explain it to the rest of us who didn't. Amen? For the creation was subjected to futility. That word futility is also the word frailty. What do we know about creation? Is that it's frail. Isn't it frail? How do we know? When we look at our bodies. Our bodies can be frail, right? I mean, our bodies are pretty, they're pretty awesome. They uphold pretty good. But if you go put your body in front of a bus that's barreling down the road at 30 miles an hour, it becomes pretty frail pretty quick, don't it? Amen? You fell off a building. Your body can become frail real quick. Amen? So we understand that the frailty of the earth. What happens? There's an earthquake. There's a hurricane or something like that. And just things get upset. Things change. One of the things we love going to Barcelona. We barely get there now that we live so close, but we love going down to Barcelona. And one of the things is about that beach is that it changes so much every year. Like you go down there, it looks nothing like it did 10 years ago. Why? It's frail. It's moved around. Just by the water. It's moved around. Water running over a rock. One of the hardest things. It's frail, right? Praise God. For the creation was subjected to frailty, not willingly. In other words, it didn't want to be. Our bodies. We know our bodies are going to die on this earth. They're subjected to frailty. It's not our desire to. Most people, most people don't want that to happen. But it's something that's subjected. Now, I have preached along these lines, and I'm going to bring it out here in a minute to explain more of it. Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. What have I said so many times? Is that God has blessed us when he allowed the body to die. When Adam and Eve sinned and he allowed the body, when he took the tree of life from people. He blessed us. And why did he bless us with that? Because then that means that we don't have to live in frailty forever. That means we don't have to live in a sinful body forever. That's called set free. That's a wonderful thing, amen? And that's one of the wonderful things that God did for us. Because he didn't cause death, but he allowed death to happen because he didn't want us to stay there or stay here in this, amen? He wants us to understand that glory. Praise the Lord. but because of him who subjected it in hope, or made it, the word subjected, I think I wrote it down here, is be put into submission is basically what it means. And so he put it into submission. He allowed it to be put into submission. Praise the Lord. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of what? The children of God. Now see, we understand this, that the children of God were to come after Jesus, because Jesus was going to come, and through Jesus we receive salvation. And once we receive salvation, the Bible says that he sends his Holy Spirit, and as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. Amen. But he wants to deliver his desire. You see, none of this would have had to happen if sin never came into the earth. But sin came into the earth. And so what God was doing is he allowed the frailty to come on creation so it would yearn and desire to be in that place of redemption. So it would yearn and desire to be in that place of the glory that God intended it to be in. See, that's exactly what this body of sin and death. Have you ever gotten tired of the body of sin where you're just like, oh, God, take me now? If you haven't been there, you haven't been to a good place yet. But I'm telling you, I've been there where I've cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, just take me now. I'm just tired of dealing with this body and all the limitations of it. But God gave us, you know, he allowed that to happen, that frailty to come upon us, so the creation would cry out for him, so it would get back to that place that he had desired it to be in the first place, because God didn't create it to be frail. He created it to be strong. He created it to be unbroken. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Creation doesn't even know it, but it is waiting for you to be what you are supposed to be. Supposed to do so it can be what it's supposed to be. All of creation is waiting for Christians to get revelation of who they are and what they are to do so that it can be what it was supposed to be all this time. Listen, when a person comes into the church and they never heard about the direction of God, they never heard that God wants you set free, when they never heard this stuff before and they hear it for the first time, oh my God, their hearts cry out and they say, yes, yes, that's what I wanted. That's what I was after. This is the answer. What causes a person to come into the house of the Lord that never had anything to do with it? Because they get hope, they get expectation of things that are awesome, things that are glorious, the things that God has provided. Praise God. And that's exactly what all of creation is doing. The people that are out there, they're waiting for the Christians to start becoming what Christians were supposed to be. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, people are waiting for Christians to be led by the Spirit of God. They don't even know it. Oh, people seeking, you know, they're seeking health care, and they're seeking ways out of poverty, and they're seeking ways into a better life. They're seeking a stress-free life, peace. Christians, we're supposed to take that to the world, but why are we not taking it to the world? Because by and large, Christians aren't living in peace. By and large, Christians aren't living in the fullness that God has provided. And so the earth has nothing to look at. They look at Christians and say, well, you're just as broken as us. What good does it do to serve your God? They have no hope. Have you ever noticed that in the world? There's no hope. You know, I think often there was a, and I've mentioned it before, he was a comedian, a well-known, well-liked, had all the money that he would ever want. And he ended up killing himself because he had a sickness that God was willing to heal, that Jesus already healed. Actually, he had a sickness, if you want to look at it that way, see if we want to say it right, you know, I got to correct the way I think too. He had a sickness that Jesus already healed, that Jesus already paid for. That if somebody had known the power of God and reached out to him, could have changed it all. But he had no hope. No hope. The world has no hope. Christians, we cannot be people that have no hope. But why are we so hopeless? When you look at a Christian and you look in their face and they look hopeless, how is the world supposed to respond to that? We have to get, it is a matter of fact, we have to get revelation of who we are, and we are not going to get revelation of who we are by rejecting the very truth that God gave us. Every time we reject the truth, we say, world, we don't care enough about you to find out who we are. Yes, we're going to heaven, but whoop-de-doo. What about all those people out there? A majority of, I used this example before and I'm going to use it again, one of the most pivotal moments in my life. My wife and I, we were in, I think it's called Little Italy, and it was in Cleveland. And there's a lot of bistros and a lot of cafes, and we were there in the evening. We were going out to a nice dinner. And we found this restaurant that was a real popular place, and we were out there walking around, and there was tons of people. It was a nice summer night, as I recall, or spring night or something like that. It was a nice night, and we're walking around, and there's lots of people out. It's just like neighborhoods, you know, in a big city, and all these bistros and stuff. And I'm seeing all these people as we're walking around. We're quite comfortable just walking around. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart in that instant. And he said, most of the people that you see tonight are going to hell. And it was sobering. And that comes back to me over and over and over again. My mom and my kids picked us up from the airport when we came back from Pensacola. And we decided to go to this pizza joint up in Buffalo. And that came back to me that same night. We went into this pizza joint. They said, you didn't have reservations. We might be able to get you in. I said, well, wait for a minute. And praise the Lord, they got us right in. But the place was packed. And as I looked around, as I sat in there and looked around, the same thing came back to me. It wasn't the voice of the Lord that time, but it was the same understanding came back to my heart. Most of the people that are sitting there tonight are going to hell. What are we doing about it? How are we living our lives? Are we really living our lives for the Lord, or are we seeking after God so we can be the change? Or are we just so focused on our own stuff all the time? Because just like I was preaching on Sunday, when we talk about our own things, when you're always worried about your own stuff, you're not focused on the things of God. When you're always worried about your own things that you're going through, think about that. I want you to think about everybody who's sitting in this room or anybody who's listening by live stream. I want you to think about this the next time you're going through something that that's depressing you, something that's bringing you down, something that's just running on you hard, something that seems like it's stopping your life from going forward. I want you to think about something. Most of the people that you will meet, most of the people you will see are going to hell. And tell me if that thing that you're going through is bigger. Because if it is, you'll keep focusing on it. If it's not, if that moves you, then what you're going to say in your heart is, God's got this because I'm God's child. Now I got to go out there and win the world. I got to go out there and change something. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where was I? I don't even remember what scripture I was on. 22. For we know the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Do you know why there's so much upset and turmoil in the life, in the world? Because the church isn't being the church. You know, when the church is the church has power. All this upheaval, this you see all this political unrest. You know what Christians think the answer to that is? Oh, I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to shout down, talk about this person and talk about that person. Or I'm going to get with my friends and I'm going to talk about how stupid this politician is or how stupid that politician is. That's not the answer. The answer is for you to live like you're supposed to live and see the change that's supposed to happen. Because they ain't ever going to change just because you don't agree with them. And I don't agree with half of them either. I'm guilty of this myself. Man, I was on the news, just scrolling through the news like I do, you know, just scrolling through the news. And all of a sudden I see this. And I see this, this thing about the Oscars. You know, the Oscars were just in. Got all these Hollywood people that get up there and they think there's something. So they're going to get up there and stage and they're going to talk about, you know, what needs to change and all this. And I got mad and I'm sitting there, what an idiot. And I'm thinking all this stuff. You know, praise the Lord, just like everybody else is doing. You know, but the truth is this. They're going to be what they're going to be. They got the loudest voice because the devil's making it possible. I'm not making it impossible. And I don't make it impossible by fighting against them, by protesting them or anything like that. I make it possible by living the life that God intended me to live. I make it possible by being victorious in my life. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the way you change it. You want to change it. Don't be a complainer. Be a changer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to. Get down on my knees and I pray, Our Father who art in heaven. Christians don't know how to pray. They don't know what to seek God for. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, like we can recite the prayer if you've been to church. When all your life, you can recite the prayer. But that's not the prayer that you're supposed to pray, but Christians still believe it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, it's just the truth. They sit there and think, well, this is what we got to do. Or we got to rub our rosary beads and say 15 Hail Marys or, you know, whatever. You know, all this stuff. That ain't helping. What's that changing? Bible says that the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Do you know if I'm praying for you, if you're going through a trial, me just praying, God, help them, isn't going to help them. You just saying, hey, God, help me, pastor, that ain't going to help me. Father, I thank you that my pastor preaches the boldness. I thank you my pastor has revelation of the word. I thank you that my pastor knows exactly what to do when he's supposed to do it. I thank you my pastor is delivered from wicked, unreasonable men. I thank you my pastor prospers. I thank you that my neighbor prospers. But see, people that don't believe this stuff, they won't believe it. Why does all that matter? Because everything that comes against me is trying to slow me down too. Everything that comes against you is to slow you down. Praise God. It's just the truth. And so when we look at our brother or sister who made us mad this week because they didn't act the way they should, instead of praying for them, we talk about them. Instead of praying for them, instead of setting them free, we sit there and say, oh, I'm going to hold this. I'm just going to have a grudge against you because you know what? You just made me mad. And my feelings matter more than your feelings. Praise God. How about Lord, if I did something to hurt them, then I'm sorry. I repent right now. But Lord, I pray that you set them free from this because I've forgiven them already. Praise the Lord. See, Christians that hold things against other Christians, you know what else they won't see? They won't see any of the blessing of God. In fact, praise God, hallelujah. Being a cantankerous Christian can cause you to lead a pain, to have a painful death that drags on and on and on. I've seen it happen. I'm just saying. Praise the Lord. I haven't seen it in this church, I don't believe, but I've seen it happen. Glory to God. Living that life can do that. God is not into, if you look in the scripture and see what God, how God looks at complaining. Well, praise the Lord. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then we get to this one scripture that we love, and we know all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Are you the called according to his purpose? Are you walking out his purpose in your life? Because if you're not, I'm just telling you right now, this doesn't apply to you. You know, you can be called, but if you're not being the called, if you're not being the one who's called, if you're not being what God has called you to, all things don't work together for your good. I just said this, and I'll say it again. If you're not being the called, if you're not acting in the call, all things do not work together for your good. In fact, a lot of things are going to work together for your bad because what you just did is you, by not walking and embracing the call of God, you have opened the door for the devil to wreak havoc and bring hell into your life. And as long as, till you get that right, until you get that call right, you'll keep that door wide open, Christian. And that's why a lot of Christians, they suffer needlessly because they've opened that door wide and they've allowed him in. And they do nothing to stop it. And stopping, you can't pray it to stop. You can't, listen, if you leave the door open, you can't pray for the things that come in to stop. I can't stand in a mosquito-infested woods into my cabin and open the cabin door, praise God, and expect the mosquitoes won't come in. I can't sit there and pray and shout it down. That's the same thing the devil does. Christians are opening the door, they're leaving it open. And they're praying to God, Lord, stop this. And he's saying, shut the door. I can't stop it. Wait, what do you mean God can't stop? Wait, I thought he said he could do all things. He can't stop it when you leave the door open. God, listen, God already defeated the devil. He already defeated. my God. He already stopped the devil's power over you. The devil has no control, no power other than what you give. The devil has no control, no control, no control. He has no power other than what you give. So when you open the door wide and you leave it open, God cannot stop him from coming in. And he will come in. He will take his spot because you've given it to him. This is what the church needs to hear. The church needs to hear you need to shut doors in your life. You need to get the door. You need to open the doors to God and shut the doors to the devil, because otherwise you're not going to get your help. And no one else is either. Praise the Lord. Forgive me for the boldness. Praise the Lord. You may think that it's a tall order. You may think, how can I even possibly do this? How can I fulfill the plan of God? How can I go out there and do the things that God wants me to do when I can't even walk my own path? I can't even get my own stuff straight. Well, thank God for 1 Corinthians 1:26. We're getting close here. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:26. You didn't want to drive all the way out here tonight just to have to go home early. 1 Corinthians 1:26. We're getting close here, though, I promise. All God needs from you is your agreement and your trust. That's all he needs. God needs nothing else from you except for your agreement and your trust. Lord, I trust you enough to believe your word and follow your word. And Lord, I will go where you send me to go. I will do what you send me to do. He needs your agreement and your trust. And everything else, listen to me, folks, everything else, heaven backs up. See, we're striving to get the answers, and God says, just follow me. I'll take it. I'll make the answers will just happen. Jesus said, just follow me. Just do it. Just hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst for what the kingdom of God. And the answers will just be there. You will know exactly what to do and when to do it when it's time to do it. You will know. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise, according to the flesh. But God, I'm a high school dropout. I didn't go to college. I didn't go to some Bible seminary. I lived a bad life. I didn't do what's right. I did everything wrong. Actually, Lord, everything I've done has failed. Do you know how many times I went to the Lord like that? God, I'm no good. Why would you even call on me? I can't do this. I can't possibly answer. I can't speak in front of people. All I need is your yes. All I need is you to say, "Will you're willing." I'll put the words in your mouth. I'll give you the places you need to go. I'll bring the people in that need to be connected to you. I'll supply everything that you do. Just trust me to do it. Praise the Lord. Not many wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty. Not many noble are called. Lord, do you know what my background is? Lord, I was nothing. People looked at me and they laughed at me, and they still laugh at me. Not many noble are called. God isn't picking the best of the best. He's picking the rest. Hallelujah. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Well, I can do that. I can be foolish because that's kind of where I've been, God. I can do that. He says, well, I've chosen you. You just say yes. Just follow me. Just go. He didn't say as many as figure out the way themselves. These are the children of God. He said as many as are led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. Do you know how hard it is to follow the Spirit? What's that, Lord? Okay, I'll take a second to learn about this. Lord, okay. Okay, I'll do that, Lord. That's as simple as it is. I mean, you ain't got to have much to be able to do that much. Praise the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. I'm not strong. I don't have any endurance at all. Do you understand? Like when, praise God, hallelujah. When the idea of quitting like something came to me, I was like, I don't want to quit. I don't even want to go through that. I told you my smoking story, didn't I? I didn't want to quit. Now, if you smoke, I'm not calling you bad or anything. I just knew I had to quit. But that's how weak-minded I was. I was like, I can't do this. What do you mean live right? I can't live right. I tried to live right. I can't do, I mean, I'm trying to do good, God, and I can't even do good when I'm trying to do good. Praise the Lord. Not many mighty things. Praise the Lord. And the base things of the world, which are despised, God has chosen. I remember a time, it was after I went through a whole lot of hell in my life and got accused of a bunch of things that weren't true. And everything was bad. People looked at me, they despised me. I remember going into a video store, and I was hurt by it because there was a lot of untruths out there, and I was hurt. My feelings were hurt. I had to give up everything. I had to change my entire life, everything. I lost everything. I lost my whole social life. I lost everything in the midst of this, and I'm like, Lord, what is going on? I often said by the time I was 21, I had everything I wanted. By the time I was 24, it was all gone. I mean, gone. And I remember going into this video store just to get a movie. Because I was just going to spend some time by myself because that's what I had. And I walk into the video store and I see this friend of mine walking down the aisle and he sees me. And he has his daughter and he takes his daughter and he turns and walks the other way. I know what it's like to be despised. But God doesn't care. God will use you. He will change things to make you look better. Even when what was perpetrated against you was wrong. You know, you want to talk about having a night from hell after that, of course, it makes you feel like garbage. It doesn't matter how they look at you. It doesn't matter how the world looks at you. And God has redeemed all that because I followed him, because I said yes. Praise the Lord. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. God don't need you to be perfect. He just needs you to say yes. He needs you to be willing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, I promise you, I'm going to close with you, but I did think it was important to get here. Turn with me to Ephesians 4:17. Two more verses, won't preach long. We'll just preach enough. Ephesians 4:17. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:17 and 18. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, the Zoe of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. Folks, we've gotten the truth. We've heard the truth. Let's not let the truth fail us. Let's not let or fail in our midst. Let's not let the truth fall in our midst. Let's be upholders of the truth. Let's not let our hearts become blind to the things that the Word says, but when we hear the Word, let's grab onto it and say yes, because there's something greater. There's something more that we're supposed to do. And I will walk out the plan of God. It starts with your yes. It starts with your desire. Desire the things of God. Desire what He has for you. Desire what God wants you to do. And He will make it possible. He will make you able. And He will fully provide everything that He calls you to do. And you will do it with His grace and His ability. And you will see and know things that you've never imagined in your entire life.